If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
We got 1 hour left, ladies and gentlemen. Two down, one to go. Appreciate you tuning in, sticking with us here through the breaks. Brian Rice, Logan Ward, myself, Peyton Manning. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Yeah. Eric Ainge. We are brought to you by Food City, the official supermarket of UT Athletics.
Final hour is on the way. We will talk Tennessee's newest pickup on the recruiting trail and the Vols on commit watch today as well. More on Tennessee as they get ready for another week of practice. Interesting schedule this week for them. They have a couple of off days coming up. They'll take off Thursday. They'll take off Sunday. And then they'll start to get into some mini game week stuff. So we've gone over the hump of training camp after the second scrimmage. It's kind of all downhill from here. Now, are the guys starting to get into more of the routine of what practice looks like on a daily basis? Or what do you do after scrimmage two?
Well, you got to go back and clean it up. Just like you cleaned up the first one, you got to go clean up the second one. And once you do all that, then so tomorrow, that's what a lot of their day will be. It'll be fixing things that they and it's not just like walkthroughs where you say, all right, everybody, here's what we screwed up. Here's what it was. Here's what we should have done. There's some of that. Some team stuff against the scout team, lining up, getting showing you the looks where you messed it up. There's some of that. A lot of it is drills and teamwork that you do. If you didn't tackle well, then guess what? You're going to spend a lot of time practicing tackling. If you didn't block well, you're going to block more. You know, if you didn't pass block well enough, if your RPO reads weren't clean, if the blocking wasn't good, there's always something when you play football, any sport, but especially football, there's something to coach on every single play. So not overreacting to that is one thing. Coaches have to do that. We can't respond to every single mistake. You do that when you watch film. But when you actually go out to practice where you have limited amount of time and limited amount of reps in each type of facet of practice, you have to make sure that you have you have to narrow it down, if you will. So you know, okay, here's the glaring things that we need to get better at based on where we're at scrimmage two. And then you go to work.
Yep.
And you go work on them.
So Tennessee picks up a commitment yesterday. Ricky Gibson commits to Tennessee. He's a corner out of Trussville, Alabama. Announced Sunday afternoon he's committed to Tennessee, picking Tennessee over Georgia right before he starts his senior season. Did he have a committable offer to Georgia? Who knows? But Georgia did just offer him in the last couple of months. Penn State, the other team that had a firm offer to him. So he picks Tennessee.
And he's a good player.
Yeah.
I watched his film. He looks really, he's rangy. Got long arms. Good at the line of scrimmage. Real physical.
He was rated as a 3-star by the 24/7 Sports Composite, the number 43 corner in his class. But said the way they recruited him was on point. They, quote, they came on me early and they stayed in touch. Every time I go there, it feels more like home. Love the people in Knoxville. Think it's just a great fit for me in general, unquote.
Yeah, good for him. I think he's better than 43rd. I like him. I think he's a good player. He could play here.
Tennessee beefing up the defensive backfield in this recruiting class.
Good for them. They need it. You always need DBs. You play so many of them. It's like receivers. You know what you should always see? And you can't just have DBs and receivers in a recruiting class, but you should have a good amount of them in every recruiting class.
Yeah.
That balancing act, putting 25 to only getting 25, is a full-time job.
Now, Tennessee is on potential commitment watch today. Jordan Matthews, top 247 player out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is picking this afternoon. His announcement is at 3 p.m. Eastern. Texas, Tennessee, and Michigan are the finalists. It is believed, though, to be a Tennessee and Texas battle. Austin is a little closer to home in Baton Rouge than Knoxville is. 6 foot, 165 pounds, runs a 10.6 in the 100-meter dash.
Ooh, that boy can run.
He's moving.
He can run.
Number 15 corner overall, number 139 prospect, four-star guy. So Tennessee.
Give me all the DBs in this class we can get.
Tennessee on watch there.
Tennessee knows that. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
They need some better athletes in the defensive backfield. They've got some good ones, and they've got some veterans that I have some confidence in, but they need to get some more just like freak guys. Like if I'm Tim Banks last year calling plays for this defense, not having corners that can play bump and run man-to-man makes your job so much harder. As a quarterback, when you sit back there and you look at the other team, and all your receivers just get to take off running clean, and they're not jamming any of them, you're just licking your chops. You're like, oh, this is going to be too easy. This is going to be too easy. When you look across the board and they're all jammed up at the line of scrimmage, you go, ugh. It doesn't mean you're not going to complete it, but you're like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Play off, back up. Make it easy on me. Because when you come up, it's kind of like pressing in basketball. Does pressing in basketball mean you're going to cause a turnover? No.
It dramatically increases your chances of it, though.
And it makes the job of the offense that much harder. They have to work just to get the ball across half court. Then they have to run their offense. It just makes it hard. And you can't do it every play.
Right.
You have to pick and choose when you do it because there you give up opportunity. Just like in a fast break, you give up fast break opportunities. You can get a layup. If you're getting a bunch of layups, then you got to quit pressing. You know, if you're getting beat deep, then you got to quit pressing. But it just makes life harder for the offense. Like, I guarantee when Josh Heupel's calling play, or Alex Golish is calling plays and the other team is backed off playing zone, I guarantee he's just like, sweet. Let's eat. Run it, throw it quick, mm-hmm. throw it quick, run it, throw it quick. Let's take a shot. Why not? It's that easy to call plays in this offense when teams just back off and just stand flat-footed. If I was playing Tennessee, I would be pressing us and jamming us and blitzing us and trying to cause all the problems I could do. Because if you just – I already know what's going to happen if I sit back and play boring zone defense. They're going to carve me up. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make it hard on them, and I'm going to challenge their receivers. Let's see how good this squirrel kid is. Go get two hands on his chest. Walker Merrill, go give him a shot. Can Jalen Hyatt, don't let him off the line of scrimmage. I know he's fast. That's all right. Just don't let him go anywhere.
We have First Take on here in the studio. Okay, Stephen A. Smith wearing orange today, by the way.
It's very vol of him.
He's back to work after taking the whole summer off after having shoulder replaced. Nick Saban sent him a special message that they played on the show this morning. Quote, I had my hip replaced and I was back to work the next day. Stephen A. took the entire summer off after shoulder surgery.
I bet they crushed him for that.
I'm sure.
If they didn't, then that's disappointing.
Yep.
That's also freakish to get your hip replaced and be back to work the next day. Like, that's almost a problem. Is it not almost a problem? Saban doesn't have a problem, but he flirts with it.
Yeah. Nick Saban doesn't know what to do if he's not working.
There's nothing that Nick Saban could do that would shock me. He walks on water.
That's why I just dread the idea that he's going to be the coach there forever.
You know what makes me, when he first got there, he was easy to hate. He was like more aggressive and brash and always just mean to media. You remember how mean he used to be to the media? And mm-hmm. I understand that a guy like that gets frustrated with him. He's a Belichick guy. I understand why he loathes answering questions from the media. I totally get it. No head coach enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like awful to people to the point where you felt like you needed to stick up for an Alabama beat writer. Like, geez, he didn't do anything. Why are you coming after him like that? But even now he's calmed down from that. I like Nick Saban now. Nah, I'll say it.
I don't like him. I respect him.
If he was the coach of my team,
you'd love him.
I'd love him.
Sure. I think he's hilarious.
I think he's funny too.
Especially
he doesn't
with
even
the
try
D's
to be.
Jokes that he yeah. apparently like. That's just my favorite thing ever.
He's just like he's the funny old guy that doesn't even try to be funny, and he just has people cracking up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope his football team loses 12 football games this year.
Yep. Give me all of them.
12. Not 11. 12. Not going to happen.
No.
They're going to win 12. But we'll poke the bear if they lose one, won't we?
We will. Our team will not.
No. I'm saying you and I.
I will.
I will bask in their loss whenever it happens.
If
Texas A&M. Oh, my gosh. If they lose to Texas A&M. I hate Jimbo Fisher more than Saban, though, so I don't really want him to win.
I'm going to tell you this. If Tennessee beats Alabama, you will. This show will be appointment listening because I will have all the smoke ready. All of it. All of it.
We'll need to do some sort of ceremonial passing of the cigar torch.
Yeah.
To Hendon Hooker.
Yeah. Y'all think y'all will still be here in 15 years?
Read between the lines, Logan. Read between the lines. We'll come Logan. Back. More of the Hurricane shows next. We'll talk about who had a terrible first weekend of their NFL career. That's next on the Hurricane Show.
If you want to join us here on the Hurricane Show.
By the way, the AP Top 25 preseason poll comes out today at noon.
Nice, right when we go off. Yeah. So we'll break it down tomorrow.
And Josh and Swain will have plenty on it coming up.
Tennessee will be in there.
I think so. Maybe.
I was talking to the Danny Cannell. What's the other guy's name?
Dusty Dvorak.
So I was talking to them this morning, and they were doing their top 25 preview. They had me on because Tennessee came in at 19.
Right.
For them. That's where they should be. You're telling me that Tennessee shouldn't be ranked ahead of Kentucky?
Of course they should.
Well, I don't have a lot of faith.
Are they going to be? Mm. Should they be? Yeah. I mean, I just look at teams in the top 25, like in the coaches poll, where, okay, Tennessee's better than them. Head-to-head, if you played right now, and just look at one top 25 projection. All right, if they played right now, would you pick Tennessee or Iowa?
Tennessee.
Would you pick Tennessee or Arkansas?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, put a cap on that one. Would you pick Tennessee or Wisconsin?
Tennessee.
Tennessee or Kentucky?
Tennessee.
Tennessee or Cincinnati?
Okay.
Tennessee or Wake Forest?
With no quarterback? Tennessee.
And you get to see Pitt. They're one of the teams that's in that 15 to 25 range. Tennessee or Michigan State?
Tennessee.
Tennessee or Texas?
Tennessee.
Okay,
so Texas. The Texas hype? Because they are recruiting well and have Arch Manning coming, has bled over into voters forgetting that they lost 7 straight football games last year.
And their top wide receiver that just transferred in, Isaiah Nayor, towards ACL.
Nayor not going to play anymore.
Returning
anyway.
Starter on the offensive line, Junior Angalu, also season-ending knee injury.
I'm just saying, dude.
So that comes out at noon today. In the NFL this weekend, you had the first round of preseason games for everybody. Deshaun Watson, probably the story for what he didn't do.
I just don't. I've been saying this forever. When Deshaun Watson season started, and it got more intense and more intense and more intense. And they were talking about trading him to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got traded. And I've been saying, Logan's been a hater on this for all my thought process here forever. He's going to have to eat crow. And I said, it doesn't matter where he plays. At this point in time, he will not be good. He is not going to sit for 6 to however many games and just come off the bench and be Deshaun Watson. I think we've seen the best that he has to offer, personal opinion.
Meanwhile, in the same game, Josh Dobbs threw for 108 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he looked good.
10 of 13, 108 yards. The score also ran once for 9 yards.
Got to have a run in there.
So I think he looks great out of that. There were some other good performances over the weekend from the quarterback position. Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, he did really well.
Looked well. It looked good for the Steelers. You also had Sam Howell nearly led Washington, the Commanders they now are, to come back win over the Panthers.
Trey Lance looked good, too, for the 49ers.
Mm-hmm. You see why they've named him the starter and have moved on from Jimmy Garoppolo.
He looks like he still has a long way to go, but playmaking ability, whew, his arm, ridiculous.
Jalen Hurts looks good for the Eagles.
Good. I'm rooting for him.
He was 6 for 6, 80 yards, and a touchdown.
Jalen Hurts, when he chose to stay at Alabama, even though he knew he wasn't going to play and Tua was, he chose to stay. I loved him for it. You just don't see it in college football. That's a way more extreme version of like Joe Milton not transferring, knowing he's not going to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
I immediately like them because of that.
Did you see what happened in Chicago against the Chiefs? Uh-uh. So the field was awful because right before NFL season, they decided to have an Elton John concert on the field.
Elton John.
And the field was in very poor shape. They were apparently having another concert on the field next week.
That sounds irresponsible.
Especially since Chicago continues insisting on having natural grass.
The Bears should have grass. I mean, should they not?
No, I think all the teams in the NFC North should have grass.
The cold teams need to have grass.
You can't because the Vikings play inside, but you probably should.
The rest need to have grass. You know how hard AstroTurf gets when it's frozen?
Yeah.
I mean, grass gets hard too, don't get me wrong.
But worse than that, the Bears offensive line, even in the preseason, their starting offensive line was basically the revolving door to allow their quarterbacks to get hit.
Looked like they were shaving points.
Yes. Justin Fields was sacked twice. The offense had to punt on all three drives that the starting offense was out there for.
The Bears are going to be terrible. Da Bears.
I saw more than one person tweet out a highlight and say, RIP Justin Fields this season.
I'm not sold on him either.
Yeah.
Never have been.
Mm.
Especially not playing behind a bad offensive line for the Bears. Good luck.
Another winner, Trevor Lawrence. So, though they lost the game to the Browns, Trevor Lawrence looked good early on. How much is he helped by not having Urban Meyer as his coach?
Well, he just never had a chance last year. We're just sitting here talking about Justin Fields. It sounds like Justin Fields may not even have a chance to be good.
Yeah.
Because if you can't, no one can block for you in the NFL at any level, let alone the NFL. If you can't block a four-down pass rush, you can't play football. It ends the conversation. So Trevor Lawrence, having a new coach who's a quarterback guy, who's won a Super Bowl, who's very calm and calculated, because that's how he is. Trevor Lawrence still has a chance to be a great pro, but he needs help. He's a second-year quarterback. If you put it all on a young player at quarterback to have to go win for you, you're probably going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
More than likely. There's examples where it's worked out.
It's rare,
worked
though.
Out for Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, he's arguably the best quarterback that's ever played the game, though. So that can't be the standard.
And he was also, it was consistent from year one to year two.
Yeah, well, he never changed. They got better. He got a lot better, but you know, thrown to the wolves, figure it out. It just doesn't work that often. Normally, if guys play like Peyton did and lead the league in interceptions and play bad as a rookie, normally that kind of ruins them.
Yeah.
And Peyton, it didn't. It created him, if you will. It made him the player that he was. But again, we're talking about the most mentally tough athlete, maybe other than Michael Jordan. I could put Peyton up there. Just straight up mental toughness. I could put him right up in that list. So we're talking about these other guys, these Justin Fields, these Trevor Lawrences, these young, good, talented players. They need help if they're going to succeed. Trevor Lawrence isn't just going to make the Jags a playoff team this year just because he goes and plays well. They got a lot to work on.
Definitely. Other things that happened this week or this weekend, the first full weekend of the NFL preseason. You had the Lions after Jared Goff was told he wasn't going to play in the preseason, insisted on playing because his starting offensive line was going to play. He said he want, if those guys were going to be out there, he needed to be out there. He went out and they went on a game-opening drive, 79 yards for a touchdown.
Love it.
He wanted it. He explained to his coach why he wanted it.
Said, that's how it works.
If you're going to put those guys at risk, put me at risk. But he was 3 of 4 on that opening drive, 47 yards. DeAndre Swift got in the end zone on the ground on the drive.
Stud.
So, Lions, hey, maybe they'll be better than last year.
You know, the way it works in the NFL, they give the big-time players outs. You don't have to play if you don't want to.
Yeah.
And for certain players, they try to say you can't play. But the misnomer is that none of the NFL players want to play in preseason games. That's not true. They enjoy playing in the preseason games. They don't want to play long.
You want to go out there and
but they want to play.
Under, yeah.
Yeah. All of them want to play.
And then it was the best of times, the worst of times for the Jets this weekend. It looked bad for Zach Wilson, kind of a non-contact-ish injury. There was some contact. But what was first feared to be an ACL injury turned out to just be a bone bruise and meniscus tear. He'll be out 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, he'll be all right. They'll go scope that thing out and do a bunch of cool treatment that we don't even know about.
Every self-made Twitter doctor on the internet on Friday night was saying that's a torn ACL.
It looked like it.
I was floored, guys, when I learned that you couldn't diagnose a torn ACL just by watching a 30-second clip on Twitter. I was floored when I found that out. But anyway.
That's not how the world works.
Yeah, though. But most of the time, I think we can all agree, most of the time you look at an injury like that, you go ACL.
Yeah, or something. They should be glad it's just a bone bruise and a torn meniscus. You can go clean that thing out in no time.
You think he was disappointed because he gets to spend less time with middle-aged nurses now?
You know he's hitting on all of them. Does his mom's friend send a get well soon? Let me know if you need anything.
His ex-girlfriend sure won't.
He's hard not to root for now.
What?
He's really hard not to root for.
I'm kind of rooting for him too over it. I'm not gonna
amazing.
Lie. I'm not gonna lie.
He cheated on his girlfriend with his mom's friend. What are we doing?
Yeah, but he's not a real person.
Exactly.
He's a pro athlete.
It's like
I'm not that guy anymore. Like now I just it's like when you see like actors do stupid stuff and you're like, oh, that's hysterical. And if someone normal did it, you'd be like, that's a bad person. They shouldn't have done that. I'm just subscribing to the new way of the world, and I'm saying I think it's funny, so I'm going to root for him.
Okay.
Not condoning the behavior.
Yeah, don't right. do it.
Yeah, right. No.
If you're an athlete, though, you can do it. If you're a normal person, don't do it.
I told you, if I was in that locker room, he would have had a standing ovation from the entire football team when he walked in. Right, wrong, or indifferent, we'd have hammed it up with him. And it would have been nothing but jokes for literally ever.
Anytime any woman appears around that locker room, it's, well, she's too young for you.
Do you guys see the new barista? She's like 40. Hey, Zach, you want to go get us coffees?
We clear out the text box next on the Eric Ains Show.
Tennessee football landed another commitment from a class of 2023 three-star cornerback in Ricky Gibson. Gibson chose Tennessee over Georgia, and he's Tennessee's 20th commitment for the class of 2023. In golf, Will Zalatoris took down Sepp Straka in a three-hole playoff to win the FedEx St. Jude Invitational. In Memphis, Zalatoris shot a round 466 and finished 15-under for the weekend. In NASCAR, Kevin Harvick took home a checkered flag of Cup Series racing at Richmond. Christopher Bell finished in second. Major League Baseball, the Braves beat the Marlins 3-1. The Reds down the Cubs 8-5. Red Sox beat the Yankees 3-0. And the Royals snapped the Dodgers 12-game winning streak, taking them down 4-0. Good afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
865-656-9900. If you want to join us here on the Eric Ain Show.
All right, let's hit the text box one more time as we get set for this. Grant said, did I just turn on Bama Radio when we were giving Nick Saban?
Well, I don't
credit.
Hate him anymore.
I still will.
You can hate him for the show.
I respect him.
I said I hope he loses every football game. It's not like I'm rooting for him to win.
Every game. Jeremy wants to know if Tennessee will have the second best quarterback in the SEC next year.
Well, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that we have the second best quarterback in the SEC this year. There's five quarterbacks in this conference that could all do that.
I think he's talking about Joe Milton versus Nico versus Taven Jackson next year.
I don't know, but I will say this. I will be shocked if Joe Milton's not the quarterback. Shocked.
Agreed.
I think they're going to put him on the young plan of Bama, red shirt, and then win a Heisman.
Let's talk to Grant. Grant, you're on the Eric Ains Show. Good morning.
Hey, y'all. I'm a little slow out of the gates on this Monday, so maybe talking about Deshaun Watson and get me fired up enough. Would y'all say Jimmy Haslam has been a donor or booster over at UT, or is he known as a booster or donor over there? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, the whole family. Okay. Especially the
Haslam family.
Yeah, the dad, Big Jim, who was a former football player at Tennessee, is the one who began the philanthropy from the family to the University of Tennessee. I think Jimmy certainly is given money now. I think his brother, the former governor, Bill, has given plenty. But I don't think there's any real concerted effort amongst any of them specifically.
So hearing about how the Deshaun Watson contract is kind of laid out with all his guaranteed money, and I guess he was able to pay off like 30 of his accusers, and they're talking about paying to shorten his suspension. And, you know, Jimmy Haslam said that he vetted Deshaun Watson. I think he said on Real Sports. But and then, you know, knowing all the stuff that went on over at UT with Bruce Pearl, Lane Kiffin, recently with Jeremy Pruitt. And then, you know, we know about, you know, the pilot fraud case. I mean, how long are we going to give Jimmy Haslam a pass and just kind of, you know, let him work in the shadows? I mean, do y'all feel like, I mean, this is just conspiracy, or do you think he's, you know, been kind of, you know, working behind the scenes and is behind a lot of this, you know, this kind of shady stuff going on? And, you know, just thinking about Deshaun Watson, it's like, come on. I mean, that's all Jimmy Haslam, right? Do y'all have any thoughts on this dude?
Yeah, I mean, I said it at the time with the Deshaun Watson deal that certainly it made the other owners in the NFL mad because they gave him guaranteed money. And when you give somebody guaranteed money in the NFL, you actually have to put that money in escrow for them. And a lot of NFL owners aren't as rich as they are. They are not liquid enough to be able to do that. I think the situations are separate. I don't think he's been involved in anything in Tennessee that I would consider necessarily shady. I think he and other donors are blamed for things that was not their doing. But money was involved, so people make assumptions that I don't think are fair to the university or to the people who give money to the university. Is Jimmy Haslam completely blameless in the issues that Tennessee's had over the last 20 years? I don't think anybody's completely blameless, but I think the times that his, particularly in the first half of the time period we're talking about, when his opinion was influential, it was because the person in charge at the time asked for his opinion to be influential, not because he came in and said, I give this money, you're going to do what I say. I don't believe, based on my experience in it firsthand, is just not reality.
Well, and he's still a donor, but he's not, to your point, Brian, he's not pulling strings. I think the pulling strings makes it seem, and I know he's had a lot to do with it, whether it was because he asked or they asked, the amount of money that was given would have accommodated that anyway, but he doesn't do that anymore. He's worried about the Browns. I know he's still a donor. The family still donates money, sure, but they're not the ones making decisions anymore, which is how it should be. That's old school. I mean, that's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be I trust the people that are making these decisions, and if they want my input, then they can ask, but here's my money.
I think when it was Big Jim that was mostly responsible for that, he was consulted more by athletic directors going back to Doug Dickey, Mike Hamilton, I mean, even prior to Doug Dickey, in part because not only was he a successful businessman, but Jim Haslam was a football player at Tennessee that through the years understood the sport, where it fit in the university and things like that. I think his opinion was much more valued because of his experiences on both sides of it. But Jimmy Haslam and his wife own the Browns, and they get to make 100% of the decisions for the Browns. If I was an NFL owner, I think the NFL owners that are involved but not involved are the most successful. You're telling me the Dallas Cowboys wouldn't have more Super Bowls if Jerry Jones checked his influence over the roster at the door? I think the most NFL owners, the most successful NFL owners have been the ones that have hired football people to make football decisions, and then they evaluate.
And they give their input, and they still have a say in it, but they're not the one straight up one person making a decision, hiring people that are going to agree with them. That's what you see with rich people all the time, surrounded by 20 people, but those 20 people are paid by the one person, so they just agree with everything they say.
Yeah.
That's not healthy.
When most people who have founded and operated a successful business know that it actually works the other way around. You hire people who know what they're doing and empower them to make the right decisions. Let's go to Homie next. Tommy, you're on the Eric Haines Show. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
We're doing well.
Quick question for you. I'm a South Carolina fan.
Okay.
Who scares you more, the Gamecocks this year or Kentucky?
Ooh, good question.
I think South Carolina has a higher ceiling. I think Kentucky has a lower or has a higher floor.
I'm more worried about Kentucky because they already have all the pieces in place and most of the things that I think they already know the answers to a lot. South Carolina has a lot up in the air. To Brian's point, if all those things fall into place perfectly, then they could be a really good team. But that rarely ever happens in college football. I think South Carolina will beat teams this year that maybe they shouldn't. And I think they will lose to teams this year that maybe they shouldn't. But I think Kentucky's going to do what they do and beat most of the teams they're supposed to and try to steal a couple from the good teams.
All right. Good deal. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a great show.
We appreciate it. Thank you. South Carolina is the fascinating one because if Spencer Rattler is a guy who plays well enough to elevate the rest of the roster, then they could be a scary team week in and week out.
I'm going to use Spencer Rattler as an example for what I just said with young quarterbacks in the NFL. If you don't have everything else around you, it's not an impossible task, but it's almost an impossible task.
Yeah.
To ask Spencer Rattler to be the one that does that. Is he capable? Maybe, but only if he has a really good offensive line and some good receivers and running backs to help him do the work. I think South Carolina has so many questions at so many spots that I'm playing the numbers with them. Not my heart. I don't care if they're good. I mean, I want to beat them, but I'm not emotionally invested in South Carolina being bad, if you will. But I just think that they have a longer road to hoe.
Scott in Rockwood says, do you think the quarterback will line up under center on 4th and 1?
No.
In our alignment, it's actually 4th and 6. Thoughts?
Nope. I do not. They play in the shotgun. They practice in the morning and they play in the shotgun. We can all disagree with it and have conversations about it, but they'll be in the shotgun. I'll be concerned if we go under center. How about that?
Because they haven't done it.
They don't do it enough. Yeah. You just screw it up all the time.
Sean in Morristown says, what's the issue with Brew McCoy's eligibility? I think there are just some things that have to be worked through in the he's transferred twice. Academically, I think they're waiting on some things that he believes and the school believes they have done and checked all the boxes, but the NCAA hasn't necessarily signed off on yet.
They're working him like he's going to be eligible.
Yes.
You just get that phone call or that email or however they deliver that message, and then you're good to go. You can't be trying to play catch up after that.
Andrew says, in response to the last caller, much more worried about South Carolina. Kentucky is not coming to Neyland Stadium and outscoring this team. No chance.
Mm. If our defense is pretty good, I agree with that. We're a tough team to beat. Here's why everyone thinks we're going to be good. Because we score so many points. The team that scores the most wins, right? That's
right.
Still how it works in college football.
Every time.
And we score a lot of them. Therefore, we are a hard team to beat. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are.
We will come back. Wrap up this edition of the Hurricane Show by finding out what we learn next.
You know what makes you feel good?
What's that?
When Gunner walks in, points the finger at you, and says hello.
That's right.
Pointed right at us. What's up, boys?
Knoxville legend.
Knoxville legend. Speaking of legends, Gambusa's Barbershop. They want to help you look like a legend with a brand new haircut. Look good, feel good, play good. Two locations. Voted the number one barbershop in the country. And right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, book your spot at GambusasBarbershop.com. Let's start it off. What did we learn today?
I learned this. Knock on wood. Tennessee emerged from its second scrimmage as healthy as probably anybody.
I didn't see any. There's going to be, you know, some nicks and bruises and stuff, but no ACLs or anything like that. If there is, it hadn't come out.
Right.
So we don't know about it. What else did we learn today? We learned that Logan and I are rooting for Zach Wilson, mainly for football reasons. Some not.
Mm-hmm. He's an American hero.
talked about, I'm more worried about Kentucky, I think, than South Carolina. And I think the main reason for that is I know more about Kentucky than I do South Carolina. The uncertainty to me, more often than not in college football, when there's uncertainty around a team, it doesn't end positively. Normally it ends with what you thought it was going to be or it's bad. It's rare that you have the team with all the questions that bands together and wins all these games they're not supposed to. It's just that's the exception, not the rule.
Later this month, the NCAA committees will meet on transfer portal rules and all that. We've said for a long time that the transfer portal window is much needed, etc. Here's why. Gary Bohannon was named starter at USF this morning. Timmy McClain, who started 9 games last year, has now entered the transfer portal.
And then you're screwed.
Here's where it starts. That's where it starts. We do, before we get out, need to give away some tickets. We do. Right now on at 656 Wins, caller number 5 at 656 Wins, we'll get 2 tickets to see Luke Bryan at Thompson Bowling Arena. Special guest Riley Green, Mitchell Tenpenny, Friday, August 19th. That is this Friday. You'll go see Luke Bryan on the Raised Upright Tour. You can get your tickets right now online through Ticketmaster.
That's exciting. Phone's lit up. People are ready
to
go.
Caller number 5 at 656 Wins. Oh, we have our winner based on the fact that Logan's talking to somebody and taking their information down.
Good.
So congratulations. We'll have a pair of tickets each day this week.
What else did we learn today? Deshaun Watson didn't look good
in his
opener.
Deshaun Watson is bad.
Overall, though, there was some good football this weekend. Good preseason football. I mean, I know that everyone goes, oh, it's just preseason football. If you watch the first quarter in these games, it's good football.
Mm-hmm.
Very good football.
I like preseason football. I'm not emotionally invested in preseason football, but I like it.
It's better than whatever else you're going to watch on TV.
Yeah. Football is always better than not football. Football is always better than not football. You can quote me on that.
Yeah, that is one heck of a grammar sentence right there.
You're her welcome. I do want to send a Knoxville area radio shout out. Brad Jeffries, who was formerly on 102, 97.5, moved out of the market last year, passed away over the weekend. So
no way,
thoughts
really?
And prayers to his family. There's a great tribute to him on one of his former stations this morning. But Knoxville radio, a lot of people have worked a lot of different places. So a lot of people in this building worked with Brad, but after he left 97.5, he moved out of market, I believe last January, and certainly all the best to his friends and family and former radio family. So,
man,
we will wrap up today's edition of the show. Tomorrow, Ryan Callahan of GoVols 24/7 will join us. Tennessee will be back on the practice field. We'll have updates from the practice field and much more. Yay, we'll see you then.
Yeah, buddy.
Logan, thank you. See you tomorrow on the New York Ain't Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.